and welcome back. We're actually talking to Paul Brandon now, who is a bus driver.
Traveling. Do you get it?
Traveling. Bus driver.
He's got so many qualifications here. He's the chair of the Right to Work campaign, and he's also the union representative of the Holloway Bus Garage. So the first thing I'd like to ask you, Paul, is can you tell us a little bit about the campaign, the Right to Work campaign, and also how it came to be established?
Okay, well, the Right to Work campaign is very much a product of the financial crisis. Often when I'm asked to perhaps describe how the Right to Work campaign appeared and evolved, I remind people of Woolworths. Can you remember Woolworths? And actually something of a classic working class store, Woolworths. And we spoke to Woolworths people in the aftermath of the closure of the shops, and they had this, it suddenly dawned on them that perhaps they should have done more. I think that gave a lot of us who were sort of floating around at the time in the union movement and in various in political activities, you know, of ideas about perhaps how we can resist in the face of the financial crisis. And we could clearly say that working people were going to have to pay for a crisis that they didn't create, which led to some interesting campaigns before the Right to Work campaign was formally set up. And your listeners may remember the Vistian Investor campaigns, yeah, where the workers occupied their plants in order to get a better redundancy deal or even to try and keep the operation going. And at that time, the Right to Work campaign was either involved with it in those disputes or certainly supporting those workers in those disputes. And we had our first conference in London in June 2009, which attracted nearly 400 people, and it was supported by a number of unions and Stop the War Coalition, Unite Against Fascism, and that led to some more ideas about perhaps what we could do. And we had we stormed the Labour Party conference in Brighton in this time last year to make our point. So we're not aligned to the Labour Party in any way. We see the crisis as one which is supported across the political spectrum. So therefore, our campaign is really you know, for the people and certainly for workers. That's led to a major conference at the beginning of this year in Manchester, in which nearly 1,000 people turned up, in which we had various workshops about ranging from students to migrant workers to the unemployed. We elected our steering committee, and that's where I ended up becoming chair of this campaign myself. So now we're heading for Birmingham on this Sunday the 3rd of October 2010, in which we're hoping to send the first signal to David Cameron and his collection of characters, that you know, we mean business, and we're going to be following in the footsteps of some of the strikes and demonstrations we've seen across Europe.
Okay, and what are the main aims, and what are the demands that you're making?
It's a good question, really, because I think the main aim, certainly initially when we set up the campaign, was to coordinate some sort of resistance, show solidarity with the workers involved who were paying the price for a crisis they haven't created. I think that was certainly the phase one of the campaign. We feel as though we've very much gone into phase two now, in which it's a fight not only for those workers in the private sector, but also in the public sector as well, that are being asked to pay the price through, and all of us are going to have to pay the price through cuts to our public services. So I think our aim is to coordinate all those workers in some sort of fight back and resistance, but also not just hopefully bring down this condemned government, but also propose an alternative as well. And we intend to that to become, in the coming months, a very strong stream of activity, ideas that can also come to the fore that are radical, if not revolutionary in their nature, and can offer a genuine alternative. So if this, you know, when we bring this government down, and I say when, because I do believe that if enough effort's put in, it can be brought down, that it's not just the Labour Party that's replacing it, and a mild, a slightly perhaps nicer version of the Conservative Party, and will still make the cuts, but over a period of time rather than in a shorter period of time. Actually, there will be a set of ideas that will be so strong and have such a base in the trade union movement and amongst political activists that it can actually bring about genuine change for the better.
Mm-hmm. And something that I find quite interesting that you've mentioned a few times now are the kinds of different constituencies that make up the campaign, which crosses over political activism, trade unions and students. Can you maybe talk a little bit about how those different constituencies have come together and how they work together, maybe what sort of appeals to all those different constituencies in a campaign like Right to Work?
When I'm asked to speak at different meetings around the country, one of my opening remarks is that no doubt the people sitting in this room tonight probably haven't spoken to each other for the last 20 years, and perhaps have only first time they've seen each other, perhaps since the poll tax disputes and demonstrations. And I think these different groups that have come together around our campaign, I think there is very much a sense of a common enemy. And the common enemy is the Tories and that classic ruling class elite that tried to run the country. And I think this has brought about a growing unity amongst many on the left and many in the radical and revolutionary tradition that haven't spoken to each other because perhaps they felt as though their people have been in power. So it hasn't been such an urgency about it. And I have to say, our campaign has been so successful, as you know, as we sit in this room. I've had to bring a piece of paper with me to remind myself of all the different unions that are now backing us. And it's not only unions, it's in the last couple of weeks, we've had the National Union of Students as well back our campaign, which really is, in many respects, seen nowadays as quite a mainstream left Labour kind of breeding ground for future ministers and all the rest of it. So for them to kind of support the radical action that we intend to bring about, I think is, again, another signal of some interesting developments that could be taking place in the next few months and years.
Mm-hmm. And given this kind of, support and maybe collaboration between, well, what you've now just said is a bit more mainstream sort of style unions and this radical element that you're talking about and that you obviously align yourself with. What do you kind of feel, how do you feel you position yourself with regard to the Labor government now, especially with implementation of Miliband now and his apparently pro-union stance, which some are touting as, I don't know, signalling some kind of new radicalism within the Labour Party. What do you think about that?
Well, personally speaking, I have to say I'm not getting particularly excited by the election of Ed Miliband. I think there's something of a view that certainly amongst some of the members I represent and within the broad mainstream trade union movement that it's probably better that Ed got elected rather than his brother David, and I think that's kind of a feeling that exists. I think though one of the big fault lines in the Labour trade union movement over the cuts is going to be this idea that some cuts can be made and there's kind of nice cuts perhaps that can be made, and that seems to be what Ed Miliband said at the party conference this week, is that they're not going to oppose all the cuts. Now, that obviously was going to produce a lot of dilemmas, I think, up and down the country with councillors and councils and the government itself. You know, the Right to Work campaign is the view that we're going to oppose all cuts. You know, why should, you know, the Sotheby Mews Day Centre in Islington, where I come from, which is for pensioners who come along and play bingo and generally socialise, why should they be under threat? Which they are, I might add. They're under threat at the moment because of the cuts of a Labour council in Islington. And that's the problem is the Islington council are not opposing that. That they see that as an unfortunate dilemma they've been put in terms of the cuts that are coming down from central government and the lack of money that's coming to council. So I think that's going to be a big fault line at the moment in between the Labour Party and the trade union movement and the Right to Work campaign. It's going to play itself out. I don't know how it's going to play itself out, but we will be on the side of anybody who's facing cuts because we're of the view that they shouldn't be paying the price for a crisis they haven't created. And I think that's quite a simple message. It's a message that needs to be repeated. And I think it's a message that quite cleverly the mainstream politicians are kind of are not kind of countered in many respects with some of their arguments. And I think we've got to keep reminding people of that. And I think if we take to the streets in a kind of Greek-style resistance combined with strikes, then I think that message will be back, that degree of movement will back up the message of that we shouldn't be paying for a crisis we haven't created.
And so what kind of tactics could you imagine might be utilised in this kind of scenario?
It's a good question. I have one or two in mind, and having spoken with one or two pensioners, and in fact I was at an anti-cuts meeting in Nottingham in which there was 150 people attended, and I was asked to speak on behalf of Right to Work campaign, and a pensioner stood up at the end and said, there's no way pensioners should be just sitting back and taking the attack on their freedom passes, their subsidised bus travel, which could easily end up being one of the significant attacks and cuts that are made by this government. We'll find out on the 20th of October in the spending review. But, you know, the pensioner stood up and said, well, I think if they do take our passes away, that we should get on a bus and refuse to pay, and we should just sit down. And I think perhaps that would be an interesting moment in terms of a movement, if you had pensioners up and down the country just getting on buses and refusing to pay. And of course, as a bus driver myself, if those users then aligned themselves with bus drivers, I think it puts a bus driver in an interesting position as to what they would do in that situation. I mean, traditionally, you would not be allowed to take that passenger if they refused to pay. But obviously, if you've got a collection of 80, 90-year-olds on your bus, it's very hard to throw or stop the bus or refuse to travel, isn't it? You know, and I think it's an interesting... And it's, again, I think all this, you know, the resistance movement is going to throw up different approaches and different ideas how to best tackle it. And I hope that these creative ideas will be pursued. I mean, another idea, of course, is along similar lines, that perhaps, you know, the London Underground, rather than go on strike or along with strikes, that perhaps they have some day in which everybody travels free and goes onto the Underground and... you know, that again, it's a positive message and could perhaps win over the public rather than perhaps alienate the public, which sometimes can be, of course, the problem with strikes. But I know from being a bus driver, being on strike, it's surprising once you communicate a message to the public about your cause, how sympathetic they can actually be. And that's often a problem. It's not so much going on strike, it's sometimes going on strike and making sure people know why you're going on strike.
I mean, that's also an issue to do with the media and the media portrayal of the strike and of the conditions around that as well. Have you had any kind of interactions with the media so far, and what kinds of interactions, if you have had them, have they been?
Regarding the Right to Work campaign?
Yeah.
And well, actually, the Right to Work campaign seems to be... well, the media don't seem to be hostile to us, and I think it's probably because they... quite like a story along a Greek style type resistance. but having said that, I'm going to be speaking on BBC Midlands Radio tomorrow morning in Birmingham, and I fully expect a debate to be had around BBC and the current pensions dispute that's underway, that they've actually voted in the last few weeks to go on strike over their pensions. In fact, it was only called off today, and there's debate around who... You know, where did the pressure come from in order for the strike to be called off? And I think there's something of a debate. Ed Miliband's intervention today, that it could be seen as being somewhat biased if they, you know, if they don't cover David Cameron's speech or the Tory Party conference this week, might not be very good. And I think for whatever reason, it appears the strike has been called off. So, again, this is what's interesting about the cuts, is that it affects everybody. There's nobody who's going to be free from it, perhaps, other than the richest in society and the bankers, which, of course, is the great irony of the whole situation. The very people who create
injustice
are not going to be paying for it. So other than that, we're all going to be paying for it, and that's going to include the media. And, of course, the BBC are likely to be one of the victims of that. You know, we would certainly urge your listeners to just keep an eye on our campaign in terms of what we're going to do. You know, we would welcome this new approach to things, this new approach of going about demonstrating, protesting, and not just what can appear, I think, a lot of the time just for the sake of it, but actually it's done with a real purpose to it, to bring about a transfer of power, you know, to people, to communities, to workplaces, so democracy actually takes on some real meaning rather than some notion of an election every 4 or 5 years, but actually really means something in people's lives.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And we'll also make sure to keep listeners updated with what's going on. So thanks again for that.
Thanks a
lot. No problem.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.